If you were taken captive, would you want to reach your captives for Jesus? That's the question that we're asking today in this episode of the Ministry Hackers Podcast. So the big question is this: how do pastors like us who remain focused on the mission of Jesus and serving our communities without being distracted by everything in the world around us? How do we increase our effectiveness while living a lifestyle that doesn't compromise our health, our families, or our personal relationships with Jesus? That's the question this podcast is going to answer. I'm Dr. Brandon Party Cooper, and welcome to the Ministry Hackers Podcast. What's up, Ministry Hacker community? Welcome to this episode. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you're doing well, because today is St. Patrick's Day. It's St. Patty's Day. I don't know if that's a big deal for you. It's kind of a big deal for us here at the Party Cooper home. So for most of you who don't know this about me, I am a quarter Irish, and so I have Irish roots. I have been to Ireland, loved it. I love, certain aspects of the Irish culture. And so I love St. Paddy's Day. I have my Go Green St. Paddy's Day t-shirt on today. All the boys are all decked out in their green garb so they don't get pinched. I didn't do this when I was a kid. I don't know where this came from or how it all got started, but now we do these leprechaun traps and glitter and footprints and all this crazy stuff. And so I don't really understand it. It's fun. I love watching the boys get into it and do all that. And so it's fun to watch, but it's just, another way to make St. Patty's Day a special day. I live just a couple hours from Chicago. So in Chicago, they have the river that runs through the city there, and they turn it green. And so a few years ago, pre-children, my wife and I, Carissa, we went to Chicago and went to the dyeing of the river for St. Patty's Day, one of the best trips that we've had. And it's just fun. So it's just a fun day. It's kind of a minor holiday. It's, kind of a little bit of a blip in the calendar just to have something else to do. But at the same time, it's a lot of fun. We celebrate it here. I hope you're having a good St. Patty's Day, a good start to the day so far. I hope you're doing well. I hope it's a good day. It's Wednesday. It's the middle of the week for all of us who are pastors and ministry leaders. It's usually get ready for service tonight, whether you're a youth pastor or kids pastor. If you're a lead pastor or something like that, maybe you have a class or a small group that you're getting ready for tonight. So Wednesdays are generally busy, busy days. And so I hope your day is not super overwhelming or super stressful, good, productive day. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to invite you to check out a free course that I've put together and I'm putting out there for ministry leaders and pastors to just take a part of. And it is how to design a small group course, or how to design small groups that people actually want to attend. So it's a free course. You can get it by going to engagingchurchblueprint.com/design-small-groups. Free course. It's going to help you really ask the right questions and look at how do I design a small group that people want to come to. Some of us, we have small groups and people are coming and filling them, and we can't get enough small groups fast enough to get enough for everybody to come to. Others of us, we have small groups and we can't get anybody to come to them. And so this course is designed for those of us who are struggling to get people into our small groups course or small groups gatherings. And so check it out. Again, it's free. All it's going to cost you is your email. So again, go to engagingchurchblueprint.com/design-small-groups and get your free design small groups course. All right. So check it out. Hopefully it'll be a big help for you as you launch and keep launching and keep doing your small groups. Okay. So today, St. Patty's Day, St. Patrick's Day. I didn't know this before, but all up until the mid 70s, St. Patrick's Day was actually considered a religious holiday and was observed more along the lines of like Easter, probably not to the same level, but more along those lines. And so, I started asking myself, okay, let me understand what is St. Patrick's Day? Like, where does it come from and how, and obviously it's built around the Saint Patrick figure. And so we're going to kind of unpack that a little bit today and kind of look at the life of Saint Patrick. So a little, you know, quick facts about Saint Patrick and the holiday. So the holiday is actually held, so March 17th, on the day that Saint Patrick died. And Saint Patrick was not Irish, and I didn't know this for a long time. I learned this several years ago, but I just figured Saint Patrick's Day, we're celebrating, you know, everything Irish apparently. And so I assumed that Saint Patrick was Irish, you know, and Patrick is a very Irish name. Well, come to find out, Saint Patrick was British, came from Britain. And he, was born and lived in the 4th century. And when he was 16 years old, little Patrick was taken captive by Irish raiders. They attacked his family's estate. They took him into captivity over onto the island of Ireland. Now, Ireland is a great place to take captives because, well, they just can't get away. It's easy to contain them. And so young Patrick at 16 years old is taken from his family, ripped right out of his home, out of his life, out of everything he knew that was comfortable and wonderful in Britain. And he was taken to the island of Ireland. Now, I loved Ireland when I went there. I kissed the Blarney Stone and walked around in the cities of Cork. And, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful place to be, a beautiful place to explore. But I'm not sure that Patrick had the same perspective when he was taken in the 4th century as a captive. And so young Patrick goes to Ireland and he is given the job of a pastor or a shepherd. And so he is supposed to shepherd these flocks around the countryside of Ireland. And he spends 6 years doing this. So he's ripped out of his home. He's I don't know if he was beaten. I don't know how he was treated, but he was ripped away from his family, away from everything he knew, his friends, his comforts, ripped out of all of that. And he was taken over into this island nation where he was made a shepherd. He wandered the countryside by himself. Most of the time while he was in Ireland was away from people. He was out on the countryside wandering around. He's on an island, so he can't get away. So his captives weren't super worried about him running off. They put him to work to watch their, sheep. And so here's young Patrick. He's there for 6 years wandering around. And it's during this time that God is really starting to move in his life. He's really starting to speak to Patrick, really starting to, essentially call Patrick back. There's no real evidence that Patrick was a very devout Christian or, you know, super committed to his faith in Jesus pre-captivity. The evidence shows that he was most likely a 16-year-old kid who, you know, was born into a Catholic family and lived the Catholic lifestyle, but was not really personally devoted to his faith. And so in the six years while he is wandering on the countryside with the sheep, and God really starts to speak to him, really starts to move on him. And that's when it's believed that he received his first his first inclination or his first desire or thought that, you know, he could share the gospel of Jesus with the Irish people. It's an idea that forms in his mind that he believes that God speaks to him. And so after 6 years, Saint Patrick, or young Patrick at this point, he decides that, God has spoken to him. God is telling him it's time to leave. And so Patrick gets up and decides to escape from the island of Ireland. Now, I don't know about you. I can swim. I'm not a great swimmer. I don't know that I could swim my way off of an island. And so, the ambition here for young Patrick is pretty high. He's been in captivity for 6 years, wandering around by himself, isolated, and he feels like God is speaking to him and saying, "Hey, I want you, Patrick, to get off of this island and figure out a way to get home, get back to Britain." So that's exactly what he does. He walks 200 miles from where he was held captive 200 miles to the coast, and somehow, I'm guessing that he stowed away on a ship or, you know, figured out a way. Maybe he swam. That seems ridiculous to me that he did. So, but somehow he makes his way back to Britain, makes his way home. He arrives in Britain. And once he is there, the calling that he feels like God has on his life to go and be a missionary to Ireland, it compels him to start preparing to be a missionary. And so this is an endeavor that, you know, and for those of you who are listening that are missionaries, you know, kind of the long, you know, laborious process that can be. There's lots of steps and lots of, you know, loopholes you got to work through and everything else. And it takes a long time from the time you feel, hey, I'm called into the mission field to when you actually get on the field. For Patrick, it was 15 years of education, 15 years of training, 15 years preparing to go back to Ireland and be a missionary. And so that's what he does. He educates himself, he's trained, he goes back, and he effectively reaches the Irish people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that Patrick did that was very smart on his end and very effective is he used the cultural traditions of the Irish people, who were primarily pagan, deep into pagan religions and things like that. He took some of the symbols and cultural pieces of the Irish people, and he used that and coupled it with Christianity. And so, for instance, in the Irish culture, they often would offer up fire to their gods. They would honor their gods with fire. And so what St. Patrick did is he would use bonfires to celebrate Easter. So he's taking something that they're familiar with and he's redeeming it into the celebration of the holiday Easter, celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus by using something that they're familiar with, fire. The other thing that he used, and this is probably more familiar to most of us, is the sun was a huge symbol for the Irish people. And so what he did was he took the sun and he superimposed the sun onto a cross. And what we know today as the Celtic cross is something that Patrick thought up, created, and used to reach the Irish people. And so here is Patrick. He is a captive at a very young age. He wanders the countryside for 6 years. He serves the Irish people, his captives, and then he escapes into Britain. He spends 15 years of his life preparing to be a missionary to go back to Ireland and reach his captives. And then when he gets there, he has the foresight and the wherewithal and the understanding to take things that they are familiar with, things they're comfortable with, and he uses those and redeems those to reach the Irish people, and he effectively reaches an entire nation, entire island of people for the gospel of Christ. And so we celebrate him on his death, the day that he died. We celebrate Patrick because of his impact in a nation for the gospel. Now, St. Patrick's Day as a holiday is kind of all over the place, and there's a whole lot of misconceptions about, you know, who St. Patrick was. He led snakes out of Ireland, which is not true. There's no snakes in Ireland. It's too cold there, so that's why they don't have that. That's why, you know, this is not true. There's a lot of legend about who Patrick was and the things that he did, and that kind of gets woven into the holiday. But I think what I really wanted us to take from this as pastors and ministry leaders, especially in the wake of 2020 and everything that's happened, is that we're celebrating today a man who lived his life reaching the people that took him into captivity and ripped him away from his home, ripped him away from his family, ripped him away from his friends and everything comfortable. And then he turned around and dedicated his life to reach them for the gospel of Christ. In 2020, we have, and I've mentioned this before on this podcast, we have a great deal of tension, to say it lightly. We could go as far as to say that we have a great deal of division within the church. We have a great deal of frustration just in culture and society right now. People are upset about all kinds of things, and we're dealing with cancel culture, and we're dealing with, you know, Facebook and social media algorithms, and we're dealing with political upheavals, and we're just dealing with all kinds of stuff. And the thing is all of these things, some big, some small, are creating all kinds of strife and frustration and anger and just a lot of negativity in our lives, whether it's our congregation or whether it's us as pastors and ministry leaders. Many of us are probably, if we were to take a step back and do a quick inventory of us, we are probably more angry right now today on March 17th, 2021. We are probably more angry today than we have been in the years prior. And it's not this raging anger. It's like this underlying smoldering frustration, this irritation, this stress that we're constantly feeling. And what it's doing is it's causing us to get very extreme in our opinions about certain things. It's causing us to draw lines in the sand. It's causing us to even, risk and doing away with relationships that have meant a great deal to us. And for whatever reason, we have just come to a point where we're done and we're sacrificing relationships. We're sacrificing our own mental health and our own well-being. We're sacrificing all of these things. And I want us to just pause for a moment and recognize that Patrick, who is only a saint because of his great popularity, he was never actually canonized as a saint by the Catholic Church. But we recognize him because of his great love for the Irish people, his sacrifice that he went and he reached his captives. He had more reason to be angry. He had more reason to abandon the Irish people. He had more reason to pray the wrath of God upon that island nation. He had more reason to do that than most of us have to fight with our family members or to be angry with congregants or to sever relationships with old friends. He had more reason to do those things than we ever have, at least in this last year. And yet, we are being torn apart by all these differences that we have. We, most of us as pastors and ministry leaders and our congregations and the people that we're around and love and all that, we have more in common, more love, more shared memories, more all of that than Patrick ever had with the island nation of Ireland. But because God moved on him in such a powerful way, and because Patrick allowed himself to be moved upon and he allowed himself to listen to the word of God, he allowed himself to hear what God was saying, and he was obedient, and he reached a nation. He changed the world because of what he did. So my challenge for all of us is, let's take a step back from all of the dissension, division, frustration, anger, everything else that we've experienced over this last year. Let's take a step back, and let's ask ourselves, is the advancement of the kingdom of God and reaching people for Jesus and changing the world, is that more important than my irritation, than my anger, than my political stance, than my perspective, than my opinion on this issue? Is what God is doing more important than that? And if the answer is yes, then let's change what we're doing. Let's change how we're acting. Let's change our behavior. And let's help our congregation, the people we lead, the people that we serve, let's help them turn away from the wind and the waves and focus back in on Jesus. Focus in on what he's doing. Focus in on his mission. Let's do that. Because I promise you this, if you will spend the next year solely focusing on the advancement of the kingdom of God and his mission, then you will gain back everything and more than what you lost this last year. If your frustration today is because you lost so much this last year, and you've gone through so much, and you've experienced so much, if that's the case, then I promise you, if we will spend the next year focusing solely on advancing the kingdom of God and making him known and serving his people, then you will gain back far more than what you lost. And at the end of the day, even if that's not how it plays out, you personally, in your heart, in your mind, in your stress level, all of that, you will feel at peace because you are about the mission of God. You are about his calling. You are about what you have dedicated your life to. Just like Patrick dedicated his life to reach the people of Ireland, you have dedicated your life to the advancement of the kingdom of God. And that's what we need to be focused on. And that's what we need to be doing. So it's St. Patrick's Day. It's a day celebrating a man who changed the nation for the gospel of Christ. And so let's take time today, not only to celebrate and honor him, but also to focus in on what we are doing as pastors and ministry leaders to help our people do the same. All right? I hope you have a wonderful day. Wear your green. Celebrate. Enjoy the day. Have great services tonight if you're having them. And I will see you in the next episode.